Good singing. Appreciate that. As our children leave, I could open your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3. The book of Exodus records the 400 years in Egypt of God's people. And since Israel is in the news every day, I'm going to be bringing messages about Israel from God's Word. I think it's relevant to our time. It's important to know the times in which we live. So Exodus records the 400 years of Egypt, Israel's journey into Egypt, staying in Egypt. It records their departure from Egypt. Exodus records the Ten Commandments and the tabernacle and the story of Moses. You know, the story of Moses makes up a good part of the Bible. Almost 1/7 of the entire Bible takes up the account of the life and the story of Moses. That's a lot, isn't it? So Moses is a key figure in the Word of God. And the story of Moses takes up almost 2/3 as large as the New Testament itself. So if you had the New Testament and you measured it as far as pages and you went to your Old Testament and measured the difference, it's just about the same as 2/3 of the entire New Testament. So the life of Moses is very important, of course. Israel right now is defending herself as the nations of the world take up their positions, and they all look daily, and it's like a big chess match. Anybody like chess here? I love chess. I play a little bit of chess every day on the internet. I don't do very well, I have to say. Maybe it's because I got 15 games going on at the same time, and I can play maybe one move a day or one move a month. It's one of those things that there's no time period. And I love to play. I love the strategy. And every once in a while, I get surprised. Yesterday, I talked somebody into a stalemate. Jimmy knows. We played many a game in high school. And bless you, Linda. And this fella had me totally surrounded. All I had left was my king and a pawn. And I put the pawn in a place where he couldn't go any further. And he's circling me. He's got two queens. So if you play chess, you know I'm in big-time trouble. Two queens. He's already gotten one of his pawns across the board, and he's got a second queen. He's still got two of his castles. He's got most of his pieces. And twice during the game, he tried to get me to quit. And I said, I don't like to quit. He says, just keep running me down. And I had one move left. And he had me so surrounded, but I was not in check. But I didn't have a move left after I moved my king. But he had plenty of moves. And I thought, I'm going to play a little psychology with him. And there is a room at the bottom to send him a message. And I said, is it possible to get more than two queens? He already got two. Technically, he could go for 3, 4, 5 if he won. He had all the pawns in the world to do it. He took the bait, and he moved his one of his pawns up towards the end of the line, getting a little greedy. Little did he realize he didn't leave me with a move. My king could not move, therefore I got a tie. I was so happy. He was so surprised. And he wrote me back a note and he says, oh, that was a good one. I says, yeah, well, that's what happens when you listen to other people, you know. But you know, as Israel is fighting, all the nations of the world are moving their pieces. They're trying to decide what's going to happen, what's to our advantage. And you know, I don't know if this is going to usher in the rapture or the second coming of Christ, but it's going to be something similar to this. And it could very well be that we are living in those last days, that's for sure. But Israel now is defending herself. Nations of the world are taking up their positions. They're watching to see what her reaction does, is. You say, well, what should our opinion be of this? Do you know, a long time ago, God made a promise to Abraham. And he said, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. You know what? That promise is still in effect today. I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And one of the reasons God has blessed America is because we've been good to Israel. There are a lot of other reasons why God has blessed America. But in any event, in Exodus chapter 3, I'd like you to look at verses 1 through 12, please. I preached a message this summer on the call of God to Moses. This morning I'd like to preach a message about that burning bush and how that is a type of the local New Testament church. It's a picture of the church. We're going to see a few things about this burning bush that are very unique, I think, and we'll see the similarities of the uniqueness of the church and why it is important in the life of every born-again child of God. In Exodus chapter 3, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. I wonder why he called him twice. Amen. Maybe Moses needed that second encouragement. It's like the parent calling the child who's late for dinner. Amen. Twice. Why not once? Because once is not enough. Amen. But when he calls you by your middle name, Sean, then you know you're in trouble. Amen. Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. And I wish more of God's people would say that when God calls to them. I'm here, I'm listening, I'm attentive, I'm ready. Moses said, I am here, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I might also add, if you're saved, he's your God. Amen. You have the God of Moses. You have the God of Isaac. Your God's the God of Jacob. Your God is the God of Abraham. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. So many times we think that God doesn't understand our problems. Let me tell you something. He sees your affliction. He knows all about it all too well. Notice, and I have heard their cry. He heard their cries. He saw their tears. Notice, and by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You know how the Lord Jesus Christ knows our sorrows. He's acquainted with our grief also. Verse number 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Boy, some names, boy, huh? You think they lived in Bergen County. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth thy people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. What a wonderful portion of Scripture from the Word of God. We have here Moses speaking to God, and God is speaking to Moses. And we find that Moses is given instruction, and Moses is given encouragement as to what he's to do with his life. And this morning I'd like to draw a picture of how this incident of the burning bush is a type of the church. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. Think about that. Jesus Christ loved the church. That's where we are this morning. We are in church. We are in Community Baptist Church. Think about it. Jesus Christ loves this church and he gave himself so that we could have it. I'd like to call your attention, first of all, to a couple things about this burning bush. Number one, this burning bush was very unique. It was so unique that it caused Moses' attention from afar to see why this bush was burning and not consumed. Usually a fire will consume what it's burning. Amen? I remember the first time I ever saw a barn burning down in the country at night. People would come from miles around to see this great sight. And I'll tell you, a good barn burning you can see from many miles away. That's for sure. When I was in high school, we used to have, what did they used to call them before a football game? A bonfire, right. That's right. And I don't know if they still do that. I don't think they do anymore. But you could see it for miles away. And this was the type of an incident where it caught the attention of Moses, this fire that was burning, this bush that was burning, and Moses turned to see what this was all about. The Bible says when he saw that Moses turned to see that fire, God spoke to him out of that bush. You know, the Bible says that all things were created by him and for him. Everything, all the trees of the world, everything that is made, God made. God made this burning bush in a very special way. And you know, the local church is something who has one author. Jesus Christ is the author of the church. He's the head of the church. Did you know that Jesus Christ is the head of Community Baptist Church? Not me. Did you know he's the administrator of this church? Not me. Do you know that he is the leader of our church? I'm just a follower. Amen. And so only God could make a church. I read a poem recently, familiar, about only God can make a tree. Remember that poem? Only God can make a tree. I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree that may in summer wear a crest of robins in her hair. And it goes on and on and on. And it says, poems are made by fools like me, but only God could make a tree. And God made that bush that day. And he made it so that it would burn and not be consumed. And only God can make a local church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Every time you... God didn't make that. Man made that. But every time you see a local Bible-believing church that loves the Bible, you are looking at a miracle of God. Because only God can make a local church. Only God can save people. Only God could call people to a certain place and form something that we call the family of God, a local family of God. Yes, that bush was created by God. And the church is created by Christ. And a church on fire for God. Do you know what? When a church gets on fire for God, people will want to see what's going on down there. It'll be like Moses turning to see, what is it all about? What's it all about? You know, this church here has been here for decades. Amen? For decades, God's Word has been going out from this place. Sunday school classes, junior church, from this pulpit, year in, year out, generation after generation. Now we have people in our church that were children in this church. Now they're adults taking their place in the local church because the church is created by Christ. You know, it's interesting to me that a church is run by faith. Amen. How many companies and corporations do you know that would exist as every week they just pass an offering plate? It's not good business, is it? You can't plan. But that's faith. That shows us that we're dependent on God. Amen? We couldn't stay in existence if God didn't create miracles every week. I thank God for our missions offering. I noticed it hit $200, amen, last week. That's a blessing. I hope that it continues to grow as we grow. But secondly, God's presence was in that bush in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 2. Notice, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Here we find that God's presence was in that bush. Right there, God was speaking unto Moses. in that special place. God was in the midst of that flame. I'm reminded in the book of Revelation how it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ being in the midst of the seven churches of Asia. Jesus is in the midst of every church that he has started. Jesus is in the midst of every congregation that stands on the Word of God, that believes the Word of God. Jesus is in the midst of that church because he is the author of that church. Jesus is in the midst of every two or three believers. Amen. Not only is the Lord Jesus Christ here with us this morning, because this is his church. You sense his presence this morning? I do. Why? Because there's love here. Wherever there's love, there's God. Did you know that? Amen. But not only is the Lord with us here this morning, but the Lord is in the midst of every two or three of you in that pew. Wherever there's two or three, gather together in my name. Isn't that wonderful to know? Not only is he in the midst of our congregation, but he's in the midst of every two or three of you in your pew. Yes, God's presence was in that bush, but God's presence is in his church. That's a great thought. That's why I come. That's one reason why I come. Because the Lord is there. He's with us. That bush was a holy place. Notice verse number 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is what? It's holy ground. That place where Moses met God was holy. You know the church is a holy place too? It is the institution that is made by God. It's as holy as marriage. And that's why when people get married, where do they go? Where should they go? They go to the church. Why? Because in the church, before God, they make vows and promises unto God. And they make promises. If the groom is here, he's facing, which side is the groom now? This is the groom side, right? I'm a little rusty. We haven't had many marriages. And this side is the bride's side, right? And so the bride looks out and promises all of her family and all of her relatives. And God in heaven is listening. And she promises the pastor and she promises the man she's going to marry certain things. I'll never forget, I was at a wedding once. This bride was so nervous. And a question was asked to her, do you take this man? She said right away, yes. Well, she says, pastor, wait a minute. I didn't finish yet. Do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to love, honor, cherish, and obey in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, forsaking all others, keep him only unto you as long as you both shall live. Do you take him? She says, I do. You got to forgive her, though, the nervousness of the moment. But it is in the church where Christians ought to be married. What? It's a holy place. Marriages are holy vows. And that burning bush was holy ground. God said to Moses, take off the shoes off your feet. That place is sacred. That place is holy. You know the local church is holy also. It's a holy place. Because we come here, we study a holy book written by a holy God. Amen? Yes, the local church is holy. It's separate unto God. It's special. It is God's piece of property. Amen. You know, I see beautiful sights here in our church all the time. It's a beautiful sight when I see our children downstairs learning about Jesus. That's holy sights. I think our church is special not only for that, but because they have Sunday school teachers who love them and pray for them. Amen. And then on Sunday night, I'm blessed when I see people who come back to God's house. They would rather fellowship with God's people than to fellowship with the world. Amen. And so, yes, the church is a holy place. I realize that there are exceptions. People sometimes work and they, because of their age or transportation or health issues, they can't make Sunday night or Wednesday night. But you know who you are if that is the exception to the rule, and you shouldn't be offended. But let me tell you something. If you go home tonight and you're watching television rather than being in God's house and you're a member of this church, shame on you. Shame on you. What you're saying is, I love Hollywood more than God's people. I love the world more than God's people. You know, the Bible says, as we see that day approaching, we're supposed to encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. You know, that day is approaching. Now, how can we encourage one another more and more if we don't see each other? Where churches are having less services and less services and less services, what they're doing is becoming cold and indifferent. As we see that day approaching, God is saying, you ought to meet more. You ought to meet more. You ought to meet more. Why? Because the world is getting worse. The world is getting darker. The world is getting more wicked. We're living in a day where homosexuality is starting to be embraced by entire towns and cities. We're living in a day where marriage is scoffed at and ridiculed, and we've become almost dinosaurs. We're living in a day where more people live together than get married. And so, we're supposed to meet together more and more. I heard a Christian say, well, I can be a Christian without going to church regularly. I could be a good Christian. I said, yeah, show me one. Show me a Christian that's good and courageous and brave and faithful who doesn't go to church regularly. It's impossible. It's like if we had a fire here, a fireplace, and there were coals on the fire and wood on the fire, and you took one little piece of wood out of that fire and put it on the stone hearth, what would happen in hardly no time at all? That little piece, what? Get cold. But if you picked up that cold piece, put it back in the fire, what's going to happen to it? It's going to get hot again. Amen? Some of you need to get hot again. Amen? Oh, listen, don't let the fire die. Don't let the fire die. Heard a man say, Pastor, I can worship God on the golf course. I don't have to be in church. I said, well, you saved that excuse for God. Because Jesus loved the church and he gave himself for it. He said, Pastor, I could worship God out on the ocean and when I'm fishing, and you saved that one for the Lord. I'm only your pastor. I'm only the one that's going to give an account of you one day. The Bible says that a happy pasture is one that's able to give an account of the sheep in his pasture with joy. And that's strange. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to be able to give an account of the people in my church to the Lord. And the Bible says that it would be good if I could do it without grief. You know what? If you give your pastor grief, you're going to get grief back one day. Amen? There is a day coming. Oh, yes, there is a marriage supper of the Lamb. It'll be wonderful. It'll be glorious. It'll be a great reunion. But there'll also be a time of self-inspection when we stand before the Lord, give an account of our life as a Christian. And that's going to be soul-searching. Our life's going to be tried by fire. And what was done for God will endure the fire. We'll get a reward. Everything else will be burned up. If our motives were wrong, it'll be burned up. We're all going to stand before the Lord. We'll not be judged for our sins. Thank God that was done on Calvary. But that bush was a holy place. God's voice was heard out of that bush. God called unto him in the midst of that bush. And you know, when we come to church, God speaks to our hearts. Amen. And when we don't go to church, what we're saying is, in reality, is, I don't want God to talk to me no more. Let me ask, you know, when you come to church and your heart's not here, you're not fooling him. You can't sing the songs. You don't listen to the message. You're doing other things in your mind while someone is speaking the word of God. You might as well not be here. Amen? God heard his voice out of the midst of that. God's voice was heard out of the midst of that bush. And the Bible says, he, the Spirit of truth, when he has come, he will guide you into all things. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. We should take advantage of all the teaching and all the Bible studies we have in our church. Yes, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. That bush burned with fire. In a flame of fire, that bush was not consumed. And as Israel started their journey across that desert, that same flame guided them. And at night it became a pillar of fire to stand between them and their enemies. What a wonderful thing. They didn't need any other light at night. That pillar of fire was light for them. They went stumbling in darkness. Amen. A million Jewish people in the wilderness. A cloud of fire, a pillar of fire by night. So they wouldn't stumble and they wouldn't fall. They didn't need a lantern. They didn't need any other fire. Praise God for God's protection. Yes, that bush burned with fire. That bush, God made known the will of God unto Moses. And he said in verse number 10 of Exodus chapter 3, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my children, my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." I, God, I'm going to send you, Moses, unto Pharaoh. Moses was making an important decision of his life that day, wasn't he? Do you know when we come to church, we ought to be willing to allow God to make the adjustments in our life that we need? If we're going away from God, we ought to be able to say, "God, not my will, but thine be done." If we're stubborn and hard-headed, we should humble ourselves before God. If we're saved, it shouldn't be a problem. And say, "Lord, you know what? I've been stubborn. I've been going my own way. My question is, how's it going?" Not going too good, is it? It never will. It's like, you see that commercial where that guy is running his car into the wall? The test driver. Bam! How many of those do you think it would take to get the idea that things aren't going too well? I visited with people in their homes and their life is literally falling apart. And I asked them, "How's it going?" "Oh, it's okay." Damn. I didn't know lying could be that easy. I mean, when we come to church, we ought to be willing to listen to what God has. Allow Him to make the adjustments in our life. Yes, through the bush, God made His will known unto Moses. And in the church, I'd like to look at John 16:13, please. John 16:13. Find it. Got it? All right. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." You know, I believe when God's people come to church that God does speak to their hearts, if they'll be willing to listen. I don't know where I'd be without God's guidance in my life all these years. I don't know where I'd be or what I'd be doing. It scares me to think about it. Because the flesh can no man tame, that's for sure. But it's through the bush that God made His will known unto Moses. What is God's will for our church? Well, I know one thing. The Bible still says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Amen. We are to be a witness to the world around us. We are to give out His word. We are to pray for the lost. You know, I think in a friend day's coming up, it's going to be an exciting time. I want you to see about how many friends you can bring to God's house. You know, today you can invite people by so many different ways. I got an email yesterday, and it was forwarded from somebody who forwarded it from somebody who forwarded it to somebody. And I looked at the end of it, and there must have been 200 people that got the same email. Now, maybe you don't know 200 people that live close to this church, but you know, if you know a lot of people locally and you're in touch with them on the email, you can send them an invitation to the church just by pushing a button. Amen? Maybe you're too old to get into that stuff. But for those of you that are not, you can invite a lot of people using the computer. And so we're going to put up a page on our church website where you can just copy it and paste it, throw it in your own email, and send it off to people that you know in this tri-state area. Amen. But it was through the bush that God revealed to Moses the plight of the people and how the people were burdened and how the people led a pathetic life, and how they had affliction, and how they had pain, and how they had misery. And it was there that Moses was told of the plight of Israel. And you know, it's as we come to church that God challenges us to look under the fields that are white unto harvest. It's at church where we're burdened to win the lost. It's at church where we're warned that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. It's at church and church only where we're challenged to win the lost. Amen. There's no other reason to exist but to win the lost. And many times the lost are in our own family. Are we burdened about it? Are we burdened that maybe mom is lost, dad is lost, our husband is lost, our wife is lost, our children may be lost? Does it burden us? It should. But it's at church where we get that burden. We don't get that burden away from here. There's too many distractions. Amen. Too many distractions. Yes, it was through the bush that God revealed to Moses the plight of Egypt and how a terrible situation they are in. And God tells us in the New Testament, look in the fields. Look in the fields. Look at the people. They're white already on the heart. They're ready to be reaped, ready to be harvested. Who will go? Who will tell them? Who will bring them? Who will teach them? Who will speak to them? You know what? I don't expect the Episcopalians to do it. You know what? I don't expect the Lutherans to do it. Do you know what? I don't expect others to do it except a born-again child of God, someone who knows Jesus. I'm not saying that saved people are not in those groups. I know Baptists that are not making heaven, believe me. Baptists in name only. But who's going to reach Garfield if we don't? This is our city. Who's going to reach Garfield? Over 12,000 people in this city. Who's going to reach them if we don't invest a little bit more time and energy and money and reaching them? Yes, through the bush God promised deliverance unto his own. And I am come down to deliver them. I could see Moses saying, boy, that's good news. You're going to deliver Israel. And then God said, yeah, but I'm going to use you. Oh, man, now that changes the whole story. But you know what? I believe God wants to save people. Isn't that great? But you know what also? He wants to use you. And he will if you let him, if you allow him. Yes, it was through the bush that Moses received his orders and his instructions and his very words. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. Verse number 10. And also verse number 14. God told Moses the exact words that he wanted him to say. Exactly. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And verse number 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You know, the Holy Spirit will give us the words to talk to people. Amen, if we're willing. I know someone in this church, they talk a lot to people about Jesus. You know why? Because they're willing. But once they start talking, the Lord gives them words to say. And that's the way it should be. Amen. Yes, he will guide you into all truth. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you what you ought to say, tells us in Luke chapter 12. It's interesting, we can talk about the weather, we can talk about the Yankees, we can talk about the Mets, we can talk about football, we can talk about the weather. But in God's dear name, we've got to find some time to talk to them about Jesus. Amen? What do you think about Jesus? There's so many ways to start conversations. We had a great conversation with Rick and Carol's neighbor last night. Carol called her over, and we started talking. And thank God there was time in the conversation to talk about Jesus. Amen? That's what the Lord wants us to do. He'll give us the opportunities. Through the bush, Moses received full instruction for the job. He said, go and gather the elders of Israel together. Verse 16. Get those men, get those leaders, get them together. Tell them what you're going to do. And in the church, Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This morning, are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If you do, there's inside of you a love for the church. Why? Because Jesus loves the church, and he gave himself for it. Amen? We should love it because he loves it. He loved it enough to die for it. You know what? Saying you love something's not enough. I'm sorry. What would you think of a man that was married and would not wear a wedding ring? Is he embarrassed? Does she look that bad? She ought to get mad if he doesn't wear the ring, because ring identifies you with the person. Amen? You know, church membership identifies you with the head. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ. Saying you love the Lord's not enough. Just not enough. I saw a bumper sticker years ago, I'll never forget it. It said, honk if you love Jesus. I like the bumper sticker I saw after that. It says, if you love Jesus, tithe, anybody can honk. Love has to be shown, is what I'm saying. This is one of these sermons that I got to also tell you at the end of the sermon, I love you very much. But this was on my heart this morning, and so I delivered the message. And I hope you accept it in the spirit in which it was given. Let's bow our heads in prayer. As our pianist begins to play a verse of invitation, this is the Lord's invitation this morning. It's about the church. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the Sunday school teachers in our church. Thank God for every member. Thank God for our deacons and our trustees. And thank God for our assistants to the pastor. Thank God for those that give of themselves, those that sacrifice and give, and those that go. And maybe God is calling you. Maybe you've been sitting on the sidelines. And you say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I want to get more involved. And I know that means I got to start coming. This is where God has called me. I've been a little slack. I haven't been involved. I haven't been using my talents like I should. God is speaking to my heart. And by an upraised hand, I just want you to say, Pastor, pray for me that I might know where I fit in, might know what I'm to do while I'm here at Community Baptist Church. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If anyone like that this morning, say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. God has spoken to my heart. God bless you. God bless you. Any other? God bless you and you and you and you. Any other? God bless you. Any others? Oh, we could do more. Yes, God bless you in the back. Yes, we got a nursing home ministry. We got a Sunday school. We got a bus work. Actually, it's a van ministry. I want it to be a bus ministry one day. We can't really call it a bus ministry till we get a bus. We got a van ministry. Thank God for the workers. Thank God for the work. We can reach more people with more people involved. But I wouldn't close the invitation this morning without asking, are you sure? Are you sure if you bowed your head tonight and left this world, you go into the presence of God because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I trust you've been born again. Is there anyone here this morning? Never been a time you invited Jesus in your heart. Never been a time when you realized you were lost and there was nothing.